There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and hour number two of Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. This hour, like we've been doing for many a Tuesday, and we're talking to Dr. Scott Chavers with the Mobile County Health Department, getting the latest on vaccine rollout, also COVID numbers in our area, and getting your questions answered. And Dr. Chavers joins us again. Thanks for your time. There we go. Dr. Chavers, can you hear us? Okay, maybe we've lost Dr. Chavers. Dalton, I'm going to put him on hold here and see if you can get that cleared. He is, I know, at the cruise terminal because they have their event going on there today. And so hopefully we get that link to the cruise terminal and everything will be good. I've got a bunch of questions lined out here, but a reminder, too, you got specific questions. All right, they're already coming in. You're getting questions about what the rollout here is in Mobile County for vaccines. We also got questions coming in on mask. I'm going to get the mask. I'm going to get the multiple mask questions answered here in just a second. Plus, anything else that you've got, like making appointments, doing those things for COVID, we'll get those questions answered in just a second with Dr. Scott Chavers from the Mobile County Health Department. Also, a quick reminder, program. I'll use this second for a program note. By the way, show's on the road coming up on Friday. We are at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We're taking the show live there. And it's going to be a Mardi Gras theme. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit because it looks like we're good to go. And Dr. Scott Chavers joins us now from the cruise terminal, right?
Yeah, we're down here at the cruise terminal. We are just now wrapping up a vaccine event and where we were giving the booster or the second dose of the Moderna series.
Okay, so these were people that were specifically, like they were, when you get your first dose, are you given a date, like a card, like come back on this date, or how's that work?
Exactly. So what everybody is given, whether it's Moderna or Pfizer, is a card that tells which vaccine you were given and a lot number, where you were vaccinated, and the date that you're to return.
Okay. So I want to start off here, and so with that event wrapping up today, what's the event schedule for y'all this week? Is that the only one, or is there anything else coming up later in the week?
We are vaccinating tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, but those are, again, just second doses. Mobile County Health Department, as of today, does not have any first-dose vaccines available for the rest of the month.
For the rest of the month, the rest of February?
That is correct.
Because I saw a story about 40,000 doses or so were delivered to Alabama this week, but I guess they're not coming y'all's way?
That's correct. So there was a big push this week, and there were 8 locations that were chosen where they were asked to give, 1,000 doses.
Dr. Chavers? Dr. Chavers. Okay. Something's going on with the phone there. I'm going to put him back on hold there if you can help us there in the screening room. I don't know what's going on with the connection there. Just trying to figure out what's up with that. Just make sure we get a good connection, and then we'll get it back on. Because I tell you right now, I'm a bit slack-jawed by that. I want to get more information from Dr. Chavers that no more for the month. I mean, today Well, today is the 9th of February. Short month, but nothing else for... We got him back on. Good. All right. We'll go back to Dr. Chavers. All right, Dr. Chavers, I'm sorry. We had lost you. So, yeah, I'm still a little bit slack-jawed that y'all won't get any more primary. You'll get secondary, but no more primary this month.
As it stands of today, that's what it's looking like. So, for us, it would be, early March, hopefully, before we would get additional vaccinations that we could actually do primary doses.
I mean, I don't know how this whole system works, so I'm going to ask questions that are stupid, but sure. How do we get in this situation? If we have this big rollout, how can they leave a place like the very populous Mobile County Health Department, without doses for the rest of the month, for 19 days, something like that?
Yeah, well, vaccines are still available in Mobile County. It's just we give our vaccines so fast that we can easily deplete, what ADPH allocates to us. But I do know that for this week, just in the partnerships of the people that are dispensing COVID-19 vaccines, most places are totally booked, at least for this week. There may be one that's still doing, what I heard from the news this morning, maybe giving vaccines on Saturday. But from what I understand, all the appointments are booked for this week as well.
Aiden's asking, how many shots a week are allocated for Mobile County and how many for the state? Do you have those kind of numbers?
I do not. I know what's allocated to us, and that varies just a little bit week to week. So ultimately, that number has to go up, because if it doesn't, we're going to be well into 2022 still giving first doses. But, you still have to remember there is a critical shortage of vaccines. Many places are still on healthcare workers and long-term care facilities.
With the news coming out, though, with the news coming out, the moving down to 65, right, this age, mm-hmm. We hear that, and then we get the fact that they're not getting any more doses. I mean, that's frustrating.
It is, especially, and it really, for us, last week we focused on some of the outlying count up areas. So we were in Sims, and then in 8 Mile, and then Centernelle, and we had to move Mount Vernon to yesterday because of the weather. But, we were really focusing there, and that was probably the hardest clinics that I personally had to do, because I was turning so many people away. We would run through our doses in 2.5 hours and still have 1,000 cars lined up, wanting vaccines. And you see the pent up demand that's there, where people really want the vaccine, and just not being able to deliver it as a healthcare provider and as a public health person is very, very difficult.
I know I get you to repeat this every week, but I think it's important for folks to hear this. You said one of the issues was like infrastructure and distribution of the vaccine. The actual making of the vaccine, you said, is they can make enough of the vaccine, but what is what's the right term? Bottling it or sending it?
A broader term is just packaging it.
Okay.
So packaging it into the vials. And then the other thing that people don't realize is there's a shortage of needles, believe it or not. So we right now are scrounging for needles to administer the vaccine. And all of this comes back to that time where COVID shut down so many industries that getting some of the very basic supplies that you take for granted to deliver, a very small dose of vaccine to someone is just not there.
I mean, that's a part of the story that I keep bringing back up, because you're talking about it, but I don't think it's being reported many places, and people get this idea that there's just not vaccine, when it's this other part of it, this packaging here. You wonder if the way we had our Operation Warp Speed on the vaccine, if we could have warp speeded the production of the infrastructure and packaging.
Right. Yeah. And so I think some of that was taken into consideration, but that was probably the 10,000 foot view, and somebody needed to have a 50,000 foot view on what it actually takes to deliver vaccines at the ground level. And just things, I'll give you another example. We use these red medical waste containers, which you've ever
I've
been
seen
in
those.
Hospital.
Those, oh, yeah.
The red, yeah. So there was a fire in New Jersey, and those are getting to be almost impossible to find now. So it's just wow. Little things like that that you wonder if you're living right when you're doing this, because it's sometimes it's like, okay, how many other things are preventing the total vaccine rollout? And it's not just, you know, in Mobile County, but it's at the state level, it's at national level, and it's global. So I can tell you one of the things that has happened in the last week or so is Pfizer was having so much of an issue packaging and dispensing vaccine that they brought on a traditional rival in Novartis. And Novartis is now retooling one of their vaccine distribution manufacturing places to now package vaccine for Pfizer. So it's things like that people don't always think about. And again, it's not always the liquid that has to go in the vial that we ultimately put into your arm, but it's all these other things that go on too.
Matthew's asking here, are the Mobile County dose allotments going to other vaccine places like Infirmary Health, USA Health, Spring Hill, and Providence? Is ADH bypassing Mobile County Health Department?
No, and here's why. We handle primarily Moderna, and the hospitals here are primarily Pfizer. So although we could take Pfizer vaccines, right now ADPH has decided not to do that. But we're in those talks with them, you know, saying, hey, we'll take Pfizer as well, or anything you've got when the J&J vaccine comes out, we'll take that. Just give us something, because I've got... You know, I've got people standing here, and we've got the whole process down. We've got the protocol down. We've got the people. We just don't have the product to give. So I apologize if I've said this before, but it's like having 1,000 checkout workers in, you know, in a grocery store, and there's nothing on the shelf to buy. It's just everything's there except the crucial component of the vaccine.
Just a guy here, you know, local guy thinking about this, I'm shaking my head. I can't imagine being in y'all's position and what y'all are trying to get done and not having that supply. Wow.
Well, think about this way. This is where it really hits home is, yes, well, in Centronelle, we gave 440 doses, which is all we had. We gave 440 doses in 2 hours. So we started at 9. By 11, we were done. We could have given easily over the course of that day, you know, 2,000 vaccines, 3,000 vaccines if they were available. But, you know, as because of all the things we were talking about, it's just, you know, we're turning people away at this point, which is heartbreaking.
Coming right back, more with Dr. Scott Shavers from the Mobile County Health Department, getting your questions answered. Got folks on hold. We'll get to you at 343-0106. Also, a lot of questions from my list and the text line when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile, continuing our conversation with Dr. Scott Shavers, Mobile County Health Department, at getting your questions answered. Going to the phones right now. Stan is calling from Florida for Dr. Shavers. Stan, what's your question?
Oh, no, it's David. But, I am calling regarding Florida. My brother and his entire family caught it from my 11-year-old nephew. And... Florida, as you might know, sent the kids back to school early, and so my nephew ended up with it because he was in an infected classroom. So I'm just, first urging you know, the listeners not to believe this hoax that kids can't catch it. And in fact, I was just looking at the news. Kansas, a 6-year-old just died of COVID. But in Florida numbers, I'm wondering if your guest has got some knowledge about, as I understand it, I'm looking at a site, it's usafacts.org, and it's got the Alabama cases and deaths. And if I look at it, the high spike back in the summer when everybody was terrified, we're now 4 times higher than we were in the summertime.
Sean, all right, I can't stand,
okay, I'm, you can't. Okay, well, Stan was saying a couple things. Stan, I appreciate your call. I don't know what's going on with that. He said, number one, that they had caught it from a child, a nephew over in Florida, and he's saying about, mm-hmm. he said it's a myth. You can't get it from children. It was his first point. Then he had asked about the numbers. Looking at Alabama's numbers, said we were 4 times higher than the spike back in the spring at this point. First of all, talk about children. We have been told that, and I've seen stats that say children aren't as susceptible.
Right. Well, so it started because we weren't seeing a lot of cases in kids. And a lot of the comparisons early on were made between COVID-19 and influenza. And you do see a lot of influenza in kids. And so it was like, well, maybe kids don't catch it. And I think that what we're now seeing, and there's some biology behind, well, maybe they don't have as many ACE2 receptors, and that's where the virus enters. But now we're starting to see more and more quote-unquote kids that are infected and that are showing, you know, symptoms. And so, yeah, definitely that's a myth. Definitely kids can be carriers. I do want to say, though, that schools are one of the safest places to have your kids because the mitigation activities that occur in schools protect your kids much better than Walmart, going to a big box store or something like that. But absolutely, you kids are susceptible. Whether they're more susceptible to these new variants than the original variants because it's a more efficient opening of the cell, we're not sure yet, but we're keeping an eye on it.
All right. Dr. Chavers, I see this text here that is similar to one we had talked about before in the supply chain discussion, because I think it was the vials somebody suggested, you know, couldn't they be re-sterilized? Somebody asking, can you re-sterilize needles? Are they what's the story with that?
It's probably easier to make the needles than to keep up. You also have to remember, too, and the people that are in your audience that are healthcare workers, there's a protocol in handling those needles after you've stuck someone. So recycling needles is probably not an option. The vials are part of the problem, but it's also the rubber, you know, so the stopper in the top that you're dealing with and the metal that surrounds it. So it's not just the vials, but yeah, I've actually talked about that internally here based on this show that, hey, why aren't we sending our vials back like we mm-hmm. used to, our old Coca-Cola bottles,
right,
and get 10 cents back on them?
And that's just not being offered, right? There's nowhere to send them.
Yeah, I mean, you still get back into repackaging and mm-hmm. having to redistribution and that type of thing, and so I don't know right now if it would be as efficient as trying to get new raw materials to package the vials.
I have less than a minute here before the break, and we'll come back. But Matthew asked, why is Mobile County not participating in the online scheduling website that ADPH launched?
Yeah, so we have found that scheduling just is not efficient. And there are places around town that you can make appointments if that's what you need. But what we find is people will schedule 4 or 5 different places. They'll go to the first one that opens up, and they'll forget to cancel. And so based on how we allocate vaccines and how many we pull, that puts us in a position that, one, we're waiting on people. We're really trying to overmanage. It's just much more efficient.
All right, we'll come right back and pick that up. We got the hard break hitting us here, and we'll be right back with Dr. Scott Chaver.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Doing this every Tuesday, talking to Dr. Scott Chavers, Mobile County Health Department, getting your questions answered here. And as we try to navigate the vaccine rollouts. And I guess we moved past it this week, went straight into vaccine delivery. But what are our numbers looking like for Mobile County for number of new cases, hospitalizations, fatalities? What do you have any current numbers?
I don't have the exact numbers from today, but we're trending down. So we're coming off the holiday peak of cases when we were doing stuff we weren't supposed to at family gatherings and office parties. So, you know, we had a spike that was way beyond what we saw in July. And we're starting to come off that now as people roll through, and we're now, you know, 4 weeks after that. So percent positivities are coming back down. They're still elevated above what we saw back in the fall. But, you know, so all of the numbers are still elevated. We're in that process. So we've talked about, you know, when you start seeing a spike in the cases, then about 2 weeks later, you're going to get spikes in hospitalization. And then about another 2 weeks after that, you're going to get spikes in death. And now we're in that final little blip of this is where we're seeing our spikes in death. And, you know, then we'll start to roll back off of that again as the number of cases go down.
You said age group-wise, you had talked about this last week as well, too, the age group with the increase in numbers that concerned you was which age group, which demo?
Yeah, so the age group that are the biggest carriers and transmitters are 25 to 49. And it's just consistent. That is the age group that, you know, is most likely to transmit, likely to be infected. And, you know, that's the age group that are more likely to be mobile and, you know, restaurants and bars and socialize and that type of thing. So it's the age group that you would expect. Different than flu, where you see a lot of your flu cases early and then later in life. But this one is kind of right in the peak, right in that middle age group. Interestingly, if the mortality was like it was in 1918, you would see the same death rates, but it's not. We saw something really interesting in 1918 pandemic that ended up killing the 25 to 49 year olds. So we're hoping that's not going to happen.
Where are we when it comes to, you talk about hospital occupancy? That's always been, you know, one of these fears out there, right? Got to keep the numbers down, flatten the curve so we don't overwhelm hospitals. Have we had any issues here? Are we still okay? Or
starting to trend down. We're not at the critical levels that we were a couple of weeks ago. And again, that's because we've started to roll off the cases and the initial hospitalizations. So not quite as bad. The concern is, you know, in Alabama right now, I want to say I think there's six cases of the UK variant. They're not calling it the UK variant anymore, but I think it's now the variant identified in the UK. But anyway,
okay.
You know, you got to be politically correct.
Yeah, I don't.
that variant, is, you know, I think it was, they reported six cases in Alabama so far, and they were transmitted in Alabama. So that means that the individuals that have these variants were not traveling. They didn't go to New York or somebody in Colorado where the variants have been identified. And so these are kind of, you know, transmitted from person to person within Alabama. And so we are very concerned that the new variant will be predominant by March. And you're going to see, because of the more efficient transmission, we're going to go to another spike, not because of personal habits, but because of the change in the virus. So you may remember we talk about the virus itself, the person, and the environment. And the next spike very well may be because of the virus change and not the other two.
Yeah, Dr. Chairs, how does that look? Like when you have a more virulent strain, is it that it can travel more than 6 feet and hold itself together, or is it the fact that there's a better chance for if you're exposed that you get. I mean, when you talk about the virulence, like what part of that? Is it distance traveled? Is it life outside the body? Is it its ability to get into your body? What makes it more virulent?
Yeah, it's totally at the cellular level. So this new variant, basically what happens is in its genetic sequence, it deleted two of the genetic components. And when you do that, you change three-dimensionally what the proteins look like. What that translates into then is that it basically has a better key for unlocking your cells. So it unlocks more cells quicker, and so therefore you're infected faster. And if you can infect more cells faster, you're going to make baby viruses faster, and then you're more likely to transmit. So really the change itself is a very mechanical one at the cellular level of how the virus is opening the cell.
Does it mean you get sicker or just a better chance of getting sick?
Well, both. Okay. Because the higher viral load means you can be sicker, and then higher viral load also means that you're more likely to transmit.
Where are we when it comes to herd immunity, right? The term that became kitchen table discussion in 2020. So herd immunity here in Mobile County is what? Where do we sit? Do you have any numbers to compare there?
Yeah, so I think we've talked about that herd immunity, that number's theoretical, in that we won't know until we look backwards to see at what point we hit it. But current thought, based on some modeling, is between 70% and 80% of the population in Mobile County. So 280,000 to 300, just over 300,000 is where we would need to be. That's if we put a dome around Mobile County. It kind of starts to break down because we have, you know, travel and going back and forth to New Orleans and Pensacola and, you know, wherever you may want to go, you know, that really does affect herd immunity. The other aspects, too, are how virulent these strains are, and anything that would make a vaccine less efficient, less efficacious toward the virus, will also increase the percentage that we need to vaccinate.
What about face mask here? This has been a talking point here from last week against Dr. Fauci talking about wearing multiple face masks. And maybe I'm just hayseed. I said, well, why don't we just make face masks that are thicker? But what do we need to know about that? And wearing two, or when the article said, you could wear three.
You know, I would be happy if I could just get people to wear one. But it's quite simple. Most people are not going to wear an N95 mask, and that's the mask we will wear when we're in direct contact with the patient that's potentially infectious. But you can't, I mean, it's hard to wear one all day long, and they're single use. So then you look at, well, the fabric mask. If you hold your fabric mask up and you can still see the light through it, it's not a very good mask. It's too permeable. And so you need a mask that, and if it's got two layers in it, and maybe I didn't hear what Fauci said, and he walks stuff back, and or it's misinterpreted, I don't know. But, you know, if you can see light through your mask, it's not a good mask. And I'll just maybe leave it at that. They do work, and some work better than others. It's not a end-all be-all for transmission prevention, but it's a component. So the way you should think about preventing this virus is think about a block of Swiss cheese, and each slice has these holes in them where they're not perfect. But if you put enough slices together and the holes are all in different places, you can't get through that. You can't see through that block of cheese. And it's the same way with preventing viral transmission. Is social distancing doesn't always work. But you put masks in social distancing and you wash your hands and you stay outside. You don't go into closed bars, which I miss. But you don't go into bars that are, you know, dark and close together, and you put, you know, all those things together, then your risk of transmission goes down. But masks are critical in that component. Vaccines are critical in that component.
All right, coming right back and getting some more questions asked with Dr. Scott Chavers from the Mobile County Health Department right here on Midday Mobile.
A.com. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150 FM Talk 106.5. Got about 9 minutes left here with Dr. Scott Chavers from the Mobile County Health Department getting questions asked and answered. And I'm going to ask you this one, too, because it's a discussion around social media and it's been a discussion on our shows this week. Mardi Gras and the fact that we don't have parades going, but it seems like things might be happening, if not Jocanda on Fat Tuesday. What's your take on this?
Well, it's anytime you have large gatherings of people, it's problematic. And the idea, and I won't talk about any one city in particular, but you know, Mardi Gras was canceled in New Orleans, and all bars shut down for a reason. And that reason is that they recognize that there's no way you're going to socially distance and wear a mask during Mardi Gras, especially if you're drinking. And I can tell you that just personal experience. Mm-hmm. I know that if I'm down, you know, Joe Kane Day, Mardi Gras Day, you know, I'm not paying right. attention to how close I am to people and that type of thing. So maybe you leave it at that, and I'll be politically correct.
Okay. This one here is something you and I have talked about a few times, and as for me and other people that have had Corona, wondering about how long we have the antibodies, right? What do you call the wild strain, right? People got the wild strain.
Right. So if you're infected, you know, your body will generate antibodies. And you have to remember, we're kind of watching this happen in real time. So we were pretty confident for a long time that it would be 90 days. And now it looks like it's even longer. It may be twice that. Let's say it may be 180 days now. So the longer we follow people, the more information we'll have in terms of what's called natural induced immunity. It's still recommended that people that have been infected do receive the vaccine. I think currently CDC is saying wait 90 days. The primary reason for that is to preserve the vaccine stockpile because, you know, if you've been infected, you've got some natural immunity. But after that, and they may change it this week and say, no, wait 180 days. We'll have to wait for that information to come out if it hasn't already. But they'll say, they may even push that on out. But it's you're still protected, and for those that haven't been infected by wild strain, you know, it gives them an opportunity to be vaccinated, and hopefully by then we'll have enough vaccines to get everybody.
The people asking that, you know, okay, it's a good question. If somebody already had Corona, are they protected from the UK variant, you know, or the South African? If they, you know, had it a while ago before those strains were in, could they, even though they're under the 180 days, could they catch another strain or variant?
Yeah, there's been a couple studies that have come out of the UK and in South Africa that have looked at people that have wild types. So they definitely have the antibodies in the trials. And they're not as well protected toward the new variants as the vaccines would you know, infer protection. So, the new variants are potentially problematic. And again, another reason why we need to get the vaccines here as fast as possible.
Yeah, reading this text from Lisa, who says, my husband had it in August and still has antibodies. He donates plasma every week. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's interesting. So that's from August to now and still has antibodies. But is it kind of a bell curve? You have the most number of antibodies and it trails off, or does it reach a point where you just, they all, you know, Monday you had them, Tuesday you don't? I mean, how does that?
It's, okay, so I'll just do this really quick. So there's not just one type of antibody. You have IgM, IgG, and IgA. And so IgM starts first. It's quick, but not as effective. IgG then kicks in, and that goes till about 6 months. But then your long-lasting antibodies, in priming your memory cells to react if you see it and produce antibodies like years down the line. We do not know at this point. So, but that's great. So what he's giving is what's called convalescent plasma. And it is one of the treatments, you know, along with monoclonal antibodies that are very effective in treating people that are currently infected. So good for him. That's awesome.
So that's part of the therapeutics we talk about.
Right. That's after the horse has left the barn. You're trying to get them back in the barn. That's what you do.
This is really interesting. Chris just texted and said, wouldn't a previously infected person with the appropriate antibodies have their body block the vaccine with an innate antibody response?
Great question. So we do. So if you have monoclonal antibody treatment, the half-life on monoclonal antibody treatment is about 90 days. So the two things we say is, if you've had a vaccine in the last 14 days or if you had monoclonal antibodies in the last 90 days, don't get the vaccine. And that's because both of those can target the S spike, so the S or spike protein. In terms of natural infection, though, that natural infection targets different sites on the virus and is not specific to the S protein. So that's why the vaccines are not blocked by natural immunity. They are very, very concentrated, and the natural immunity will be against the viral envelope or some other things that I don't want to go into because it gets into a lot of biochemistry. But no, you should. It will not block. A natural infection will not block the vaccine.
Very good. And Dr. Chavers, as always, we appreciate our time together. Before we wrap up, we've got about a minute and a half left here. Once again, we talked about the fact that other than second doses, y'all don't have supply on hand to give any primary doses for the rest of the month. Is that correct?
That is correct as of today.
Okay.
So hopefully that will change.
Could that change before the end of the month? Could there be, I mean, is it a final, or could y'all wake up Friday and they say, oh, yeah, we did, we found some?
Well, J&J just filed, and we're hoping that goes through as fast as Moderna. And that's a single dose vaccine, so you don't have to come back for your second dose. There's some pluses and minuses, which we can talk about next week, but we're hoping that's going to hit, hoping AstraZeneca hits, and that will open up a lot of vaccines for a lot of different people.
Yeah, in a future show, I want to ask about the number of different vaccines, whether that's a positive or a negative, you know, in the general, if you could have, you know, and we don't have time, but if you could have it one way or the other, you know, which way would be best. All right. And remind folks, too, they want to get the information from y'all. Y'all do updates through your social media and websites?
We do. So information on clinics and eligibility, you can go to mchd.org or mchdcares.com. Either one of those, you can test your eligibility, or you can dial 410-MCHD.
Dr. Chavers, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to talking next week.
All right. Thanks, Sean. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it as well. So Dr. Scott Chavers with Mobile County Health Department, our guest. Paul Feinbaum Show is on the way next. Remember, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com, streaming, podcast, all that good stuff. Make sure to check us out on Facebook as well. All kind of great stuff like the new gardening photo of the week. People are going to win fantastic prizes by showing off their gardens and yards and outdoors pictures. Check it out, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Bill Finch will award our first winner on Sunday. All right, Feinbaum's next.